Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who has called us to faith by the proclamation of the gospel, and who will keep us in the one true faith until that glorious reappearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Amen. Our text for this morning meditation is taken from the reading that we heard. The great question is always about sin, is who, why, and what. You remember some years ago, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? It was a bracelet that we all put on our hands, and we talked about that acronym, what would Jesus do, as if though we could do what Jesus did, and that we could be about the work of Jesus. And the only way we can do that is that Jesus should work through us in the work that he has called us to do. But here are the disciples asking Jesus about the great sin question. And is that what's going on in our society today? Because when we look around in our society, in our world today, the great sin question is always, what are we going to do with these people who have these alternative lifestyles, these people who are aborting their kids, these people who are planning their pregnancies, and we get angry about those kinds of things and some of the other stuff that's going on in our society. And it's always the who question, why are they doing these kinds of things? What's going on in their lives that they are just leading this kind of lifestyle? But the greater question is not what they're doing, because they're all sinners. The Bible says, for we all have what? Sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? Paul says there are no righteous people on the face of the earth, not even those in the seminary, nor your professors. There are no righteous people in the face of the earth, no, not one, for we all have missed the mark of God's holiness, his righteousness, and the knowledge of God. And so let's just get the sin question out of the way. We are sinners, and we do what sinners do. We sin. We sin in thought, word, and deed. We confess that, right? By what we have what? Done, and by what we have left undone. We don't love God the way we should. We don't love our neighbors as ourselves. So who's going to help us through this sinful condition that we received from our parents in the Garden of Eden? And the only person who could do that is Christ. Is Christ. So Christ takes them from the sin question of who sinned, this infant in the womb or his parents, the reason that he is blind, and he comes to the purpose of God. This is for the glory of God. This is for God's grace and his mercy, so that the world can know that God loves the world and that he has proven his love by giving us his son, Jesus Christ. Sin is real. Sin is real. It's real in your life and in my life and the lives of the people in this world. Sin separates, sin alienates, sins destroy relationships. And yet God understood that in the Garden of Eden, so he came to Adam and Eve and he clothed their nakedness and he declared that he is still their creator, still their God. He loves them and he would be with them through the whole process. He promised a savior, and that savior was his son, Jesus Christ. I was visiting a young pastor the other day, and he was just talking about what was wrong with the community. And so he gave me a litmus test of all of the things that were going on in the community. And I said to him, it's not enough that we know what's wrong with society and the community. We got to know what's right. And what's right is the gospel. What right is God's grace and his mercy in the lives of people whose lives are broken, whose lives have been turned upside down. That God is still there for them and that he loves them. And the purpose of the church is to share that love, that grace, and that mercy with those whose lives have been broken by sin. Just the other day, I'm in the airport and I'm renting a car, and Susan was the person behind the counter, and she asked me what was I doing, and I told her I was a pastor in the church and I worked at the International Center. And she said, Lutheran. I went to a Lutheran church. And she said, that Lutheran church saved me. She said, in middle school, I probably was destined for damnation. She said, I was the worst kid in the world. They put me out of public school, and thank God my mom didn't give up on me. And she took me to that Lutheran church, and they enrolled me. And she said, and then when I found out that all of the kids who were just like me, who were broken and who were doing crazy stuff, they ended up in that Lutheran church. And she says, so this Lutheran church then received all of these kids whose lives have been turned upside down. And she said, you know what? That pastor must have been Jesus. She said, because we gave him living hell. But she said, you know what? He loved us.
And she said, I can't say enough about that middle school education where a pastor showed us Jesus, in spite of the fact that we were trying to show him Satan. And she said, we did everything we could to tell this pastor that we were not listening to the stuff that he was telling us, but he wouldn't give up on us, and he told us about a Savior. And isn't that what God has called us to do with this world that is broken in sin? He calls us to tell them about a Savior, a God who clothed himself in the frail of our human flesh yet without sin, but a God who took our sin in his body, a God who made his way down that road to Calvary's mountain, to the tree on Golgotha's hill, a God with nail prints in his hand and a crown of thorn on his head, a God with a spear print in his side with blood and water gushing out, a God with nail prints in his feet, a God who is dying so that we might go free, a God who lives that we might have eternity. That's what Jesus simply said to the disciples. It's neither his parents nor this person's sin. Sin is the reality of the condition in which we live. Original sin and actual sin. We're all born in sin. We all sin every day in thought, word, and deed. But what are we going to do about it? Stand on the street corner and talk about how bad things are? Become angry and frustrated at people who won't get their lives together? Or are we going to simply show them Jesus? Tell them about a Savior who is not angry at them, but a Savior who loves them and who gave everything that he had for them, his life, so that they may live. That's what the world is looking for and waiting to hear from the church. But I tell you what oftentimes they hear. They see the sign that says, don't let me come down there, / God. Which one of these commandments do you not understand, / God? They hear all of the judgment from the church that the Gen X's and the millennials and the emerging adults simply say about the church is that, you know, the church is mean-spirited, the church is hypocritical, and the church is judgmental. That's what that age group says about the church. David Kinnaman says not only do they say it outside of the church, but the ones who are sitting in the pews of the church say that about their parents and their grandparents, that somehow we're mean-spirited, we're judgmental, and we're hypocritical. I don't know how true that is, but I know how we can prove that it not to be true is by being Jesus to those in whom we come into contact with each and every day. By sharing with them God's love, his grace, and his mercy. By reminding them that our God is a God who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. That he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. God, thank God for that. None of us would be here today if he treated us as our sins deserve. Nor according to our iniquities, as David says. But from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. As high as the sky, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has forgiven us of our sins. And David in another psalm says, and he remembers them no more. There's no little black book in heaven where God has all of your sins written down and the sins of the world written down, and every time you sin, he says, there you go again. But God sends a Savior, and the Savior embraces us in his life. And he takes the nails that we should have taken. He takes the spear that we should have had in his own body. Paul says it so beautifully. He said, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Good news? Good news? You better believe it is. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the grace that God has given us in his son, Jesus Christ. That God took our sins in his body and he went to Calvary's cross and he died so that you and I and the world might go free, and that he lives that we might have eternity. So what would Jesus do? He'd forgive you. He'd deliver you and he'd give you eternity. That's what Luther says in the Small Catechism in that second question, the blessings of baptism. He simply says, the blessings of baptism is that it works the forgiveness of sins. It rescues us from death and the devil. And it gives us eternal life to all who believes in Jesus Christ. Isn't that simple? Your sins are forgiven. Really? I know you don't believe it, but your sins are forgiven. Listen, you have been delivered from death and the devil. God makes sense out of this thing we call living. Really, we are freed people. We have been delivered. And your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no one who could take it out. You could leave, but he'll chase you down. He'll follow you. He'll tell you to return home. And he won't judge you and condemn you when you return. He will embrace you as a father who would embrace a child who has gone astray. He's proven it. You look in his word, you find it everywhere in the word of God. You find where God comes to us when we are fleeing from him, and he chases us down with the good news of the gospel. And he wrestles with us, and when we are fighting against him, because we know we can never measure up, we know we are sinners, we know we miss the mark every day, but he embraces us and whispers, your sins are forgiven. You have been delivered. You have eternity. That's the good news that we have received as a people of God, and that's the good news that the world is waiting to hear from us. Usually what I say when I'm preaching, and I'm going to give you a little evangelism tip, but I usually say, don't try to win the world overnight, because you'll probably become frustrated. Sinners do what sinners do best. They sin. But take one person at a time and share with them this loving message of hope and salvation that God has given us in his son, Jesus Christ. In closing, you know, I say it to myself, well, I got to do better about that myself, because, you know, as an executive, then I'm always out telling people about how to share God's love and his grace and his mercy, teaching them about how to do that and all of this stuff. And then I say to myself, well, you know, I'm teaching people stuff that they should be doing, but I'm not doing it myself. And then I said to my wife, I got to do better about this, so I got to figure out an evangelistic tool so I can serve people in my community. So I came up with an idea. Now, this is my idea of sharing God's grace. And I had this little pamphlet from God's Word about God's love. And I said, so what I do then, I take the pamphlet, and I'll put a few dollars in there, especially for people who are hurting and everything. And so, and then I say, then I roll my window down when I drive through the city of Detroit or someplace, and I share with people, and I tell them about God's love, and then I give them this pamphlet. And then I told my wife, I said, you know, but the truth of the matter is, I got this idea, but I'm not ready for it. I pull up to a stop sign, and the pamphlet's in the trunk of the car. Won't work. I'm sitting on the money in my pocket. I got my seatbelt fastened. The light is about to turn, so the only thing I can do is say, brother, I'll pray for you and take off. And so I think the urgency of what Jesus is saying is that God calls us to work in the lives of people that have been blinded and broken by sin, and that we as the people of God must be prepared and ready at all times to share with them this wonderful love that God has given us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. The world is waiting, church. They've heard a lot of things about the church, and they're scared to death, because they've heard that God is out to get them. Let's tell them God has already gotten them in Christ. He has delivered them. He has given them eternity. Amen? Amen. May God bless you in the work that he has called you to do here at the seminary in your studies, and as you get out into the world to share God's love and his grace with those who are still waiting, who are blinded by sin, and who are waiting for the light of the world to come into their lives. Amen.